Welcome to another powerful word from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Are you ready for the word? All right, let's open up our Bibles. We're going to be going just a little bit later to the book of Titus. It'll give you a little time to find it. And today, I hope to make sense. I'm going to encourage you to listen for one thing, just one thing. One thing that you can understand, one thing that makes sense. One thing that you can take with you from this experience. God, no doubt, will offer a lot of different things, but your choice is just to find one. Because today we're going to be talking about opportunity knocks. We are in the middle of an opportunity. Listen closely as I make this opening statement. In fact, I'll have it put up on the screen here behind me so that you can read it along with me. Our nation has been blessed by God. Not because God agrees with us and wants to reward us, but rather because He loves us and wants to give us an opportunity to repent and serve Him with our whole heart. Listen to me again as I encapsulate it. You can read it again if you like. But God has blessed our nation. Not because He agrees with us. But God blesses us because He loves us. You know, imagine God as a parent. A parent who wants to give you another chance. Because He loves you. Because she loves you. Not because they agree with you, not because they think that you have it all together, but because their love and their hope is so overwhelming that they want to give you your best chance to succeed. One of the things I have found out about God in the time that I have served Him is that He will give you as much room to fail as He does to succeed. He will, you know, encourage you with all of the right things to do. But God will also give you a chance, if you don't get it right the first time, to do better the next time. I love that about God. There is an account in the Bible, in the book of Acts. I want to encourage you to read it. I'm going to tell it as a story. But I'm encouraging you to read it. You can find it in Acts chapter 9. It's the story of a man named Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, just a young man that was born in what we now know as Turkey. Saul was raised in a Jewish home. His family evidently had moved to a city called Tarsus at some point earlier, and they wanted to send their son back to Jerusalem so he could go to school and learn the law of God. So as a young man, the family sent him back there to Jerusalem, and he entered into what we would understand as a university. He entered into the school of a man who was very well known, and Saul, his goal was to become a lawyer, to become a defender of God's word. And so he began to learn things, and the more that he learned, the more he felt like he needed to protect the people and protect society from those who, he felt like would destroy it. You know, sometimes people feel like that one political party or another political party is going to destroy America if they get in charge. Well, it was the same back then. It has always been the same. And in the time of Saul, Saul was born 5 years after Jesus was born. So that's about, you know, you can get an age there. So here Saul went to school and he did so well. He learned so much. When he came out of school was about the time that Jesus had been crucified and the church was just starting to grow in Jerusalem, and Saul really believed that the church was an enemy of society. He believed that the believers, those who were following Jesus, he believed that they were going to destroy the nation and destroy society. He believed they were going to hurt people. He did not imagine that they wanted to help people. He did not imagine. Why? Because that's what he had been taught. He believed his teachers. And he was sincere in what he believed. He lived a life that was considered to be politically correct. He was connected to the newest and to the strongest movements of his day, political movements of young men who were joined together to protect Jerusalem and protect the law of God. And everything that they had been taught, they were serious. Saul of Tarsus was what everyone wanted to be. He was a man who was educated. He was a man who was committed. He was with the in crowd. He was with the leaders. He was in the right political party at the right political time. And along came a different ideology, and he felt like he had to destroy it. And yet this ideology that was being espoused by Jesus of Nazareth was only an ideology of helping people and healing people and feeding people and trying to make life better. But that's not what Saul believed. It was not what he heard. It was not what he was taught. And it was not what he believed. Saul of Tarsus was deeply committed to practicing what he had learned at university. He was seriously committed to the ideology that he believed, and he believed he would save society. He believed he needed to preserve the way of life that he had been taught was best, and he believed that all of the Christians were on the other side of that line. He believed it. He was serious. There was only one thing missing. He was wrong. Hello? Hey, read it in the Bible. It's nothing new. You can be sincere and yet be sincerely wrong. Think about it. Saul genuinely believed Jesus and his followers were a menace to society. He really believed that they were going to hurt people. He really believed they were going to destroy the nation and everything that the nation held sacred. I mean, he really believed this, okay? He really believed that the church was going to hurt people. But he never saw the hurt. He only heard the message. Where was the hurt? Go through the whole Word of God. Show me the hurt. Show me the place where these believers in Jesus Christ were hurting. They weren't. They were helping. Show me where they were robbing. They weren't. They were giving. Show me where they were you know, doing something that was creating less fortune. They weren't. They were creating more fortune. Jesus had the same message. You see, Jesus, and we should not ever expect to be treated better than Jesus. Jesus never hurt anyone. He always helped. And when people came to kill Jesus, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "For which good work do you want to kill me? For which one?" I mean, Jesus was just basically saying, could you open your eyes and look around? Where have I hurt anyone? Where have I actually done what you're accusing me of? Where's the hurt? Jesus was there. The church was there in Jerusalem to help people, to feed people, to meet needs. Vicious lies of the enemy and rumors spread by those who believed the lies were causing riots and causing violence in the streets of Jerusalem. Read. In fact, it wasn't just in Jerusalem. It happened in Ephesus. It happened in Philippi. It happened in Thessalonica. You know, it happened in Rome. It happened in Corinth. People helping others, being accused of wanting to hurt them. Vicious lies, as I said, were causing violence. Good people were being taken to court. Saul of Tarsus was hunting down good people, and he was taking them into court and accusing them of being bad people. And he was even seeing them put in prison, and some of them were being executed. This is history. It is plain. All it took for Saul to see the light and to change what he believed was one encounter with Jesus Christ. One encounter on the road to Damascus helped Saul to see the light. He actually said to himself, "I was wrong. What I believed was what I had been taught. What I believed was what I heard. But now what I see is the truth." It just took one light. He realized those things that he had been believing were simply not true. And Jesus was not the bad guy. He realized Jesus was the good guy. Boom. Wow. You know, I can remember when I have changed my mind on a few things. Have you ever changed your mind about anything? Yeah. Have you ever been wrong about something and all of a sudden you realized I was wrong? Yeah. You know, doesn't it feel good to go, wow, now I can see I was wrong. That's what happened here to Saul of Tarsus. That Damascus Road experience, it opened up his eyes. It challenged his belief, and it changed his life forever. Saul of Tarsus, who was an enemy of Jesus in the church, became Paul the Apostle. A servant of God, an apostle of Jesus, and a preacher of the Word of God. And as I said, you can read about this divine intervention, about this divine encounter. You can read about it in the book of Acts chapter 9. But let me encapsulate it one more time. God did not save the apostle Paul. God did not save Saul of Tarsus. He didn't reach down and save him because he agreed with him. He saved him because he loved him. And he saved him because he wanted to give him a chance to get his life right. Two political parties in our nation fought to see who would lead our nation. Whichever party would have won no doubt they would have claimed that God had blessed them. Hello? Okay? We have Democrats and Republicans sitting among us right here and watching church online. We have people here who voted for both parties. I'm not here preaching to you some political message. I'm preaching to you a message from the Word of God to tell you, no matter where you stand, if you were to believe that God divinely intervened in an election, any election, this election or the ones in the future, then let me tell you, it would not be because He agreed with you. It would be because He loved you and He wanted to give you a chance. God blessing you is a measure of His love, not a measure of your perfection. And I'm here as a representative of Almighty God, reading from His Word, hoping that we can all understand that today is a chance. Without respect to who is in the White House, today is a chance. I woke up and I'm drawing a breath that God has given me, and it is my chance to get my life right with Him. It's a chance to make sure I support all that is good and all that is holy. Without respect to what I was taught, without respect to what I heard, as I look around and I see what God has done, I want to give Him thanks for another chance, for another day. Not say, oh, look at us, look what we did, look at them, look what they did. I want to look at God and realize that He loves us. And He is hoping that we will take this day and do something with it for Him in our lives. God's divine intervention was Paul's chance to change, not a reward for having done well. Have you found the book of Titus? I bet you thought I forgot. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, some years later, that Saul of Tarsus is writing this. He said, as he describes himself, a bondservant. You know what that means? That means a slave by choice. Someone who could have done something else, but decided to become a bondslave, a bondservant. It's the Greek word doulos, to be a servant by choice. I'm a bondservant of God, he said, and I'm an apostle. That word means messenger. I'm a messenger of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. I've acknowledged the truth. I found the truth. You know what it did? It made me choose to serve God. I found the truth, something I didn't know, you know, something I now know. And it made me want to be a messenger of Jesus. And it's just the godly thing to do. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, isn't that a pretty good deal, promised before time began. God promised us eternal life before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me, he says, according to the commandment of our God and Savior. Not only, he says, Paul describes himself in three ways. Not only am I a bondservant of Jesus, not only am I an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ. I'm a bondservant of God. I'm a messenger of Jesus Christ, and I am a preacher of the Word. God has allowed me to proclaim His Word. Wow. What a blessing. In all of Paul's preaching and teaching through his writings, many of which we still have and read today as we're reading from Titus, Paul tries to shine a light on the truth, as he did here. And there are three things that Paul confirms over and over and over in his writings and is in agreement with the rest of the scriptures that we have. And basically, I want to give you today, as you are looking for something to take home with you, you know, one thing to take home with you, I want to give you three options. And I'll cage it this way. There are three things that you will never hear God say, okay? We will never hear God say, "I don't know." Okay? When you go to God and you ask Him something, He's not going to say, "Well, I don't know what you're going to do about that. I don't know." You are never going to hear God say, "I don't know." There is always something you can do to please God. There's always a step you can take. Always. There's always something that God will have you to do. There's always something that God will have you to think. God always has an opinion. God always has an answer. You will never hear God say, "I don't know." God always knows what to do. He knows what to do right now in your relationships. He knows what you can do. He knows what you can do right now with neighbors who may have voted in a different way than you voted. He knows. God knows how you can bridge the gap. And by the way, I just heard some stupid stuff on TV this week. I know it sounds crazy, but I did. I heard things, I mean, and I have read things in the newspaper that I don't think are true. But I heard two things that troubled me, and I intended to say something about it to you. Number one, husbands and wives, don't deceive one another when you go to the voting booth or whenever you go through the toll booth. Come on. Come on now. Let's don't do that. Let's don't listen to people. Let's just decide they're crazy. The best we can say is they're wrong. Don't bring deception into your marriage, okay? Don't do that. Don't introduce, you know, subversion into your covenant relationships. Don't do that, okay? And number two, if you have family that you feel like voted in a way that you didn't vote, go see them for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That was a Yale-educated psychologist said that you don't need to be around people. You don't feel... You know what I want to say? That is so wrong. Listen, family is family. Come on, suck it up. If you won, don't gloat. If you lost, don't punish. Get real. Family. Don't let politics and passion for something, even as big as the leadership of a nation, get bigger than God in your life. If somebody didn't get what they wanted, they might need some comfort and understanding. They might need some loving. They might need some caring. Listen to them with a compassionate heart. You know, if you had a lost, you would have been sad. And if you're the one that lost, come on, show up. Show up and be there, you know. What happened to us that we would divide families? What happened? That's such horrible advice. Listen to me, Internet. That's wrong. No matter how bad it is, believe me, you can make it worse. Come on. We don't do that. That's not us. No one should be that way. That's not real, okay? There's always something you can do to please God. There's always something you can do to make things better. There's always something you can do. And what is right is decided by what's right in the eyes of God. Okay? So, at any rate, Isaiah 46 verse 10 says about God, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God has a plan. He will succeed. And we haven't been thrown a curve, okay? And we haven't been rewarded for being good. This is a chance. And you will never hear God say, I don't know. Ask Him what you should do, okay? And make sure it lines up with His Word. A second thing you will never hear God say is, I don't care. You will never hear God say, I don't care. God cares. And God has more invested in your life, in your family, in your community, in your nation, and in this generation. God has more invested than you do. Okay? He has more at stake than we do. God is more interested in our nation than anyone else. Okay? He knows your name. He knows your challenges. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you face every day, and He cares. God cares. He cares. He cares about you. And you can put your hope in Him. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, you can cast all your cares on God, for He cares for you. He cares for you. You will never hear God say, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. I got no ideas. I am drawing a blank here. Never hear God say that. And you'll never hear God say, I don't care. He cares. He cares more than anyone else. A third thing that you'll never hear God say is, I was wrong. Sorry, guys. thought I had that one, but you know, huh, I missed it. I was wrong. You'll never hear God say that. You know, the rest of us, we should hear you say it. Okay? Sorry, guys. I just didn't know what I was talking about. You're not going to hear God say that. Nope, not going to happen. First of all, He's always right. He cannot lie, and He's always right. Okay? He's a good God. He loves us and cares about us. He has a plan for our life. Okay? Wherever we are in life, whatever we're going through, you know, God is not in the condemning business, and neither should we be. You know, 1 John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But don't forget John 3:17. He didn't even take a breath until He said, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world through Him might be saved. As the church, we are not in the condemnation and criticizing business. We are in the lifting up the love of Christ, loving our enemies and those that persecute us. How much more those who walk with us and may not believe what we believe, may not have heard what we have heard, may not have seen what we have seen. You know, everyone is on a road, and as we walk together, some are farther down the road than others. You know, we do not have to agree with people to love them and care about them. God doesn't agree with me many times. He loves me and cares about me. But He's always right. And when He lets me know, I do my best to line up with what He says. That's what we need to do. God's smarter than I am. You know, don't imagine you're smarter than God. God's not wrong. He's right. And the end of the day is redemption. The Bible says, and history proves, that God has a plan. He has a plan, and He cares. And He is bringing us along step by step. There is a difference between opinion and truth. I encourage you today to realize the difference. And don't mistake opinion for truth. Don't mistake how you feel for for the facts. God's word is true, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he's gracious. He sent Jesus to show us how he felt. So today, I'm hoping that you can take something with you today. One thing. What will it be? You know, what checked your thought? Was it the fact that God is giving us a chance instead of rewarding us? Maybe every day when you get up and draw another breath, you can remind yourself that, you know, because I have another day does not necessarily mean God agreed with me. It does mean that he loves me and he wants to give me a chance. Perhaps you realize that God is not ever going to say, I don't know, I don't care, I was wrong. You know, maybe go into his word for your answers. Maybe praying about what you should do. He always has something you can do. There's always something you can do to please God. Okay? Always. Put a smile on your face, some joy in your heart. Reach out to others, especially others that may not agree with you. Keep the door open. Okay? Keep the door open. And let love, just as Pastor Sergey said, that's our responsibility. That's our part. God's chosen us. Let love be seen through your heart, through your words, and through your actions. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another dynamic message from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.